This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top of the morning and welcome in. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you making this show part of your Thursday. Nate Burleson, longtime NFL wide receiver, now seen on television on CBS Sports and NFL Network, joins us at 11. Brian LaFamina is in studio with us from 1 to 1:30 today. And the cool thing about the Redskins' chief marketing operator coming in studio is that LaFamina is going to take your questions on the phones for a full segment. So we'll talk to him from 1 to 1:15 or so, and then up until the bottom of the hour from 1:15 to 1:30, whatever questions, comments, concerns, thoughts you have as season ticket holders, as consumers, as people who go to FedEx Field.
Or don't, frankly.
Yeah, he wants to hear from you.
This, I think this is one of the big stories in DC sports right now. And I think it's not getting enough attention or play. I think people are just kind of going about their lives, commuting to and from work, and maybe they'll tune into the Redskins or see what the Nationals are doing or otherwise. The 180-degree turn from only a handful of years ago that this Redskins organization, and again, the product on the field, the football ops is still the football ops. It's separate wings of the building. The 180-degree turn and new attitude of the new leaf that they've turned over, where you already heard Zip this morning with the junkies. Brian LaFamina will come in and speak directly to consumers. The era of misinformation and bilking customers and just handing the tickets over to season ticket brokers is over. They are trying to once again market to Redskins fans. Instead of just grabbing whatever dollar comes in, they don't care where it comes from. They now care where it comes from. And it's to be commended, I think.
They will no longer be pretending to sell out the stadium, which I think is a massive step in the right direction.
Yeah.
We're not dumb as Redskins fans. When you rip out thousands of seats a year, you continue to downsize the stadium and the number of seats available to fans. We know that there aren't thousands of people trying to get in. We're not stupid. They haven't been actually selling out the games. They've been announcing the hundreds of consecutive sellouts that haven't really taken place. But they've already said that sellout streak is in jeopardy and probably will not continue this weekend. Because for the first time, the new adults in the room who are running this thing are saying, why would we lie about this? In the same way that they're no longer going to be lying about the season ticket waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
I think that LaFamina and his crew, and Steve Ziff, who was just on with the Junkies,
right,
the entire staff that they've put together, a collection of professionals, are going to do a really good thing, and they're going to return FedEx Field, ideally, to being a stadium for Redskins fans to enjoy. Now, the only way that's actually going to work, and we all know this, is if the team is good.
Sure.
If the Redskins go out and play on Sunday against the Colts, like they did this past weekend in Arizona, you're going to have a pretty good fan experience. Because at some point, they'll be up 24-0, and they'll win going away by 18 points, and you'll leave with some fond memories, and you'll feel like you got your money's worth. If they're bad and they're getting embarrassed and they're getting blown out and they're losing heartbreakers, your fan experience isn't quite going to be as good. But there are some things that they can try to fix, and they are doing that. We can ask Brian LaFamina about those. One of the things that I really like, this is the first time I can remember in a long, long time that the cheapest seat available when I looked last week for a Redskins ticket to the Colts game, which, by the way, you didn't used to be able to just look up an individual game over the course of the season by going to Redskins.com and saying, I'd like to buy a ticket when the Packers are in town. You didn't used to be able to do that. Now you can. But the cheapest seat available is now on Redskins.com, not on some third party.
That's what I like, by the way, so much.
That's huge for two reasons. Number one, I think it can cut down on the enemy ratio, on the number of people buying seats that are not Redskins fans. But frankly, the only way to put Redskins butts in seats and to keep Cowboys fans out is to have Redskins fans buy the tickets. No disrespect to you, but you're part of the problem.
100% I am.
Because 100%. When you and people like you stomp your feet and have your temper tantrum about never going back to FedEx Field, that ticket ultimately gets bought by a Cowboys fan who's happy to be at FedEx Field. So we're a big part of the issue as a fan base.
100% I am.
Because there's a lot of people like you who refuse to go to that stadium. But that said, in addition to that part that gets cured as you put the seats back into the hands of your consumers on your website, I think the other thing that you could possibly do when you go the route of Redskins.com over the third parties, you can actually make it for the first time in years so that a season ticket holder is paying less, perhaps, to have his season tickets for the entire season or her season tickets than someone who's just getting those seats for cheap on StubHub. And that, to me, why would I buy season tickets to the Redskins if I'm paying, I'm just making a number, $5,000, right, for my season tickets?
Right.
And I have no idea what it would be.
Right, but let's say that's what it is.
$5,000. But yet, every single Sunday, when I look at the tickets on StubHub, there's a seat available for $19 in my section.
Yeah.
Why on earth would I buy season tickets?
Yeah, it's the way it is for the Wizards at this point, where they're trying to get their season ticket sales, X, Y, and Z, and you can find, a cheap seat on StubHub for half the price of a season ticket holder. That's not great. That's not a great feeling if you're one of the guys that got the season tickets. You feel bilked, right? Well, they're starting to do some incentive programs for season ticket holders. And again, I think they're limited because it's FedEx Field. There's only so much you can do with FedEx Field. You could turn a trash heap into a nicer smelling trash heap. Still a trash heap. It's still the worst stadium in the sport, probably. But they're trying to do some nice things. I've already seen things where they're not going to have the commercials that blare during TV timeouts on the Jumbotron in stadiums that everybody universally hates. They're going to stop doing that. They're trying to make it better. They're legitimately trying instead of just saying that they're trying.
That's all you can ask
That's for. A big deal to me. I'm telling you, the cultural change is not getting enough attention over there.
Here's a question we should pose to our callers. And we can open up the phones for the first time today. We'll get into actual football coming up in just a little bit here on Grant and Danny. But with the Redskins set to inaugurate another year at FedEx Field in 3 days, first and foremost, do you find yourself any more jazzed or jacked up to go to the stadium than you would have been otherwise based on how they performed against the Cardinals? I am curious about that.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. In other words, is anyone going to buy a ticket to be at the stadium, to be at the game that may not have before, but now they're 1-0 with a chance to get to 2-0 looking like they did, and you're saying, why watch the game on TV? Why don't we just go enjoy ourselves, tailgate, and see the Redskins get to 2-0 against the bad Colts?
Yeah, this might be fun. Whereas we didn't know going into week one. This looks all of a sudden, especially because they're healthy right now, and this Colts team can be had.
Right.
This might be worth my investment.
If you're going to go to a game at FedEx Field this season and you want to see a win, this is probably, as of right now, the most definitive chance to do that.
It's your best shot.
Now, they could go out and lay an egg and lose, obviously, but they're going to be favored by over 5 points against a team that is probably going to finish in last place, and they're healthy still. Anybody going to the game that wasn't planning on it before they saw how good they looked against Arizona? That's question number one. 800-636-1067. Second question we've got for you. When I heard once and for all that they're basically going to end this fake sellout streak,
mm-hmm.
I took a pride in that as a Redskins fan that times are changing. I viewed that as a victory for the organization.
Me too. I think it's not getting enough attention.
Here is how I think nationally it might be viewed. The Redskins had sold out X amount of straight games. They didn't sell out this weekend. Their record recently is this. Their fan base is dwindling. There might be a couple of people that don't understand that the sellouts were fake around the country who view it that way. In this city, if you follow DC Sports and the Redskins and you actually have been to FedEx and or watched 5 games, you know that those sellouts were not real anyway. Do you, Redskins fans, 800-636-1067, do you take any pride or do you like hearing that single game tickets are now available? They're not going to keep up the fake sellout streak. The season ticket waiting list that we've all known was fraudulent for years is gone. Do you view this as a victory in some way, as progress, or do you not care about it? That's the question at 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on this next. Remember, Brian LaFemina is on the show today at 1. He'll be taking your comments and your questions as consumers which I think is a great opportunity that I haven't heard anybody else on the radio provide. So we're excited to do that here on Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan.
Hey, guys, Danny Rouillet for my pals at Tedbert Ford. I'm a Tedbert man. Now, you may just say that's just something you say on the radio. No. The proof is in the pudding, or in this case, the proof is in the two Tedbert vehicles that the Rouillets are driving out and about town. That's right. The wife got herself the Ford Edge a couple years ago. We love that car. The Goldilocks-style SUV for us. They offer big ones, smaller ones. That one was perfect for us. It's an awesome car. You get a great deal on one right now, in fact, if you head over to my guys at Tedbert Ford in Fairfax or Chantilly. I got myself the Ford Fusion last year. Love it. Love that ride. It's charging up downstairs right now. Here's the thing I like the most about Tedbert Ford. You can get a car, truck, or SUV almost anywhere, right? But you can't get this kind of customer care everywhere. That's how they've been in business almost 60 years. They do a little something called Tedbert for Life. Let me tell you about it. Like to hear it go. Lifetime vehicle coverage. New pre-owned vehicles. Anything less than 100,000 miles. Powertrain. Big stuff. That's like the engine, the transmission, transfer case, drive axle, right? That kind of thing. Then they take away the hassle. They make it easy. Great service loaner program. Then you go into things like Virginia State Inspection. That's right. They'll do that for you right there at the dealership. They make it easy. Go see them and tell them Danny sent you.
Grant and Dave, aren't you happy? We made a couple of good hires. We got people that are doing some smart things in our marketing department.
Hello, Grant and Dave. You know they were playing soccer on the field the other day. I'm sure it'll be fine in December. Dave.
You're listening to The Fan, the very same station at 1 o'clock today that Brian LaFemina will take your questions, your comments, your concerns as Redskins season ticket holders and plan holders on. We're excited about that. Nate Burleson is on the show at 11. That's 40 minutes out. We're starting our broadcast today, talking about the fan experience at FedEx Field. More importantly, has anybody bought tickets based on just getting excited after seeing the Skins wallop the Cardinals? We have found someone who did, by the way.
I like it.
Alex is in Prince Frederick. Alex, so you did not have tickets, then you bought them after the game?
Yeah, hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call, man. Big fan. I got to meet you at 106.7 The Fan Night at Nats Park. It was awesome.
But, oh, very cool.
Yeah, I bought my tickets this morning. I got real excited after week one. I mean, it was a dominant performance, probably the most dominant I've seen out of the Redskins since that Oakland game last year. And the only thing that was kind of holding me back was just seeing what the weather was going to do with the hurricane, but now it doesn't look like it's going to be as rainy. So I got a couple cheap seats on StubHub, and I'm going to head out to FedEx Field. And, you know, it's one of the more winnable games on our schedule, it looks like, so I figured why not.
How often do you get tickets to the games at FedEx?
I try and go maybe once or twice a year, not too often, but I try to at least catch a game once a year.
Nice. So he went through StubHub, he said. You can now go through Redskins.com, which was never an option before, and you can actually get some of the tickets there cheaper than StubHub. I think it'll take a while for people to even know that's an option, because for years you've been trained, I need a Redskins ticket. You just punch StubHub in, and,
right,
and you go to the website.
And you find that resale market and whatever.
It is important to note, by the way, in terms of the game, forgetting whether or not you're going out there, who cares who's going to show up and who isn't. But from a football standpoint, it does look like we're going to dodge some of the worst weather everyone was anticipating. Last few days, I'd heard rain, wind, storms, all those things.
Yeah, all the apocalypse stuff.
Not anymore. It sounds like, based on at least the report I looked at this morning, and this will probably change 10 times, 78 degrees and sunny during game time at FedEx Field on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fine on Sunday, knock on wood, but then we might get whatever the remnants of Florence into the week following.
I'll take that.
I'll certainly take that. Yeah, seriously.
Don't have a Nats or a Skins game to ruin on Monday or Tuesday, do you?
Exactly right. I mean, the most important thing, obviously, is that everybody's safe, happy, healthy, all that other kind of stuff. But just talking football for the Redskins purposes, I think it's going to be a nice Sunday.
Let's go to Eric in Clinton. Grant and Danny on
Eric.
The Fan. What's up, Eric? Eric, you're on the radio. I'm throwing you back on hold. Let's go to Kyle in Fairfax. Kyle, you're on G&D.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys. I have season tickets, so I didn't obviously invest into their individual game packages. I'm encouraged that they're actually, as a longtime season ticket holder, dealing with them for the last 10 years, it's just a bunch of robots. Like, you call them for a discount, you tell them that the product on the field's bad, they do nothing for you. So I do think it's great that they're obviously listening now. My biggest fear is that over the last 3 years, and I think, Grant, you might know this too, when you start the season, I would say even like 2005, 2012, there was an uproar and people were excited. The last 3 years, like, it's really dull, and that's why more fans are coming in. I hope these initiatives do bring more home fans back, but I'm afraid it's too late because the environment there has just gotten, I mean, the fans that go are almost sick to their stomach knowing that there's going to be more visiting fans than there are home fans, and it just kind of takes away from the joy of going to a game.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to fix.
I think that's the biggest problem that they have to combat, Kyle. I really do, and it's the single biggest reason why Danny doesn't go, so I wanted to let you talk mm-hmm. more on that. But I have a question before we let Kyle go really quick. Are you like me, where when you see that they're going to stop the sellout streak, that they are no longer pretending like there's a season ticket waiting list, do you see that as true progress?
I do, because I just think that they, I mean, I don't know Dan Snyder, but I just think that he loves to live in this lie that, I mean, you know, I don't know. Look at the Capitals and how this city came alive. And he's got to at least know that that stadium is just, there's no home field advantage. And I think that now he's basically saying, he's asking Redskins fans to come back, whereas before he was saying, we have the best fans in the arena when the stadium was purple during Minnesota Vikings week. It's embarrassing. At least now he's asking for Redskins fans to come and take the stadium back. That's a start.
Well said. I appreciate it, Kyle. I mean, to me, the feeling that, I don't speak for all Redskins fans, certainly, because they were still able to get tens of thousands of people to go to games, even as they're 3-13, 4-12, whatever, right? But for so many years, when you put up this sellout streak, season ticket waiting list, when you lie to people in a bold-faced way and behave the way that they did in this kind of standoffish and even times antagonistic manner, whether that was suing newspapers or old ladies who couldn't pay their season tickets anymore, etc., it felt like they were treating you like a cash register. They were simply just couldn't wait for you to show up and fork over your money. They didn't care who you were. That's why a season ticket broker is going to make a killing off of the Redskins. Like in their offices over there, when they're trying to do the season ticket sales, a guy couldn't sell season tickets to a group after 5 minutes, gives up, just calls StubHub, and you know some Eagles fan group buys 1,000, and that's that. It's kind of all easy. Wash your hands of it. They're now legitimately trying to make a culture change. I don't know if it's too late, to be honest with you. It's got to coincide with some good football. It's got to coincide with them winning, I think, for this really to catch a foothold. But they've been dwindling for years. The bleeding has happened for years. Is there enough plasma in the ER to kind of, you know, breathe this this body back to life? I don't know. Kyle's point is a good one. This is the challenge they face. They should have done this a decade ago. Because in the 90s, when they were a disaster, you still couldn't get a ticket to go to RFK. When they were terrible in the mid-2000s, you still couldn't get a ticket. This new era that we're in, where TVs are better than they've ever been, red zone is delightful, couches are comfortable, a lot of people don't want to deal with drunken buffoonery, even if it's your own fans.
Well, the Redskins aren't the only team having that problem.
Everyone's fighting.
That's league-wide.
100% it is. This unique set of circumstances here, though, on top of the league-wide problem, they've needed to confront this problem for a long time. I don't know that it's in time, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'm fascinated to see, but I give them credit for actually doing it.
Well, here's where it is in time, and here's where it matters. As soon as they win, the stadium is going to be full of Redskins fans again. It just will be. I've seen it. I saw it in 2012 mm-hmm. when the Redskins played the Cowboys for a division title in Week 17. I saw it a week after that when they played the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. I saw it in 2015 when the Packers were in town. There are a million Green Bay fans in every market all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an America's team type feel. It was all Redskins fans at that playoff game. When they're successful, when they win, I don't want to say that this is a fair-weather fan base because it's the opposite of that. But in terms of putting your money where your mouth is, going to the stadium, sitting in the seats, dealing with the temperatures, the mm-hmm. cold, the rain, whatever it is, there's going to be twice as many people doing that when they're good. And so right now they're 1-0, and I think a couple more people are going to get tickets than would have to see the Colts on Sunday. If they are 2-0 and the Packers are coming to town on September 23rd in 10 days, and they are unbeaten through 2 weeks, and by the way, based on the conversation about the Redskins around the country already after 1 week, they will be one of the darlings in the NFL at that point with a new quarterback and a Hall of Fame running back, Adrian Peterson, who's been productive. Everyone's going to be talking about them. That place is going to be hopping come September 23rd against Green Bay. Now, you may lose that game. Green Bay's really good. And if you do and then you lose to the Saints, then maybe it's not quite as energetic against the Panthers. But in other words, if you're 4-0 and Carolina's coming to town in October, FedEx Field's going to look different than it did last October. I promise you. We see it all the time when this team once every few years plays a really important game when it's rolling along. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Speaking of TV and football, does anybody watch pregame shows anymore? I found myself flipping around from one pregame show to another on Sunday, looking for something I never found. Nah, this isn't for me. Let me go to this one. Definitely not this one. Let me try that. Are pregame shows for anyone anymore? What would a good pregame show look like? Do people still watch them? Do you enjoy them? 800-636-1067. Let's get into that next. Nate Burleson at 11 o'clock right here on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Who watches NFL pregame shows at this point? We're trying to do a little experiment, a little polling at 800-636-1067. How do you get ready for game day on Sundays? Do you still watch pregame shows at all?
I do. I flip around to find actual analysis and game preview. Because I can't just sit and watch one, because if I sit and watch one, the unfunny people doing shtick or the pausing of the actual pregame show, let's bring on Rob Rigor, let's bring on Frank Caliendo. They are awful. They're all so bad, and they've gotten worse. The people seem to want less information. This is what their polling data has told them, I guess. They seem to want less info, less intelligent conversation, less actual analysis about what's going on from these experts. And more, you know, funny shtick. On Fox, it's Terry Bradshaw going, I don't know. Like, I don't want that. Tell me what's going to happen and why. Tell me who the keys are, who's, you know, what matchup, what stat needs to be exploited, what, you know, who's in, who's out, that kind of stuff. The thing I watch the most, honestly, is the ESPN fantasy lineup thing on ESPN2. That's what I end up usually watching the most. Basically, it's like, hey, last minute, this guy's out with a hamstring. Right. Or last minute, plug this guy into your lineup. Or last minute, whatever. That's the most valuable thing to me.
I find myself, I still watch, I will say that first, but it is increasingly difficult for me to enjoy pregame shows because they're getting less and less about football content all the time. And maybe that's smart. Maybe that's the way, the trend that these shows should go, because you are trying to attract the average person, not necessarily a football savant or some guru or genius like Sean McVay to watch. So you're not going to just analytically break things down, X's and O's, and with film. There's got to be more of that, though, I think. Your average audience is a big football fan. But I think what they want is a husband and a wife to sit there and watch, or a family affair, so to speak. An average TV viewer who might not be a huge NFL fan to watch their pregame show. That's what it seems like. And it's another example, and you see this all the time, of catering to everybody but your base.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how this works. I took classes in college where, you know, they draw the two circles up on the board, and the little circle is who watches, and the big circle is everyone else, and you want to make that circle as wide as possible to try to get it to the big circle.
Mm-hmm.
I get what they're doing. But at some point, you got to take care of that little circle of your people, of your base, and they're not really doing that. Now, I will say, I am generally anti all things. Like, let's do three-minute comedian picks. Because, you know, at one point in time, Frank Caliendo did a funny thing, and so now everyone's got to have their comedian doing their skit. I actually saw a really funny one, I thought, this weekend, compared to what you normally see. How familiar are you with John Michael Higgins?
Not very.
John Michael Higgins is the play-by-play announcer in Pitch Perfect, and he was in the movie Elf.
Oh, that guy is hilarious.
He really is funny, right? So he did a skit, and I don't know if he's new on Fox this year, if it was a one-time deal, but where he talked about what you can do with your jerseys that are no longer good. And it was like a Richard Sherman jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And he like wrote Fisherman, and he said you can go fishing. It was a bunch of wacky things like that. It actually was pretty funny. I laughed at it. I normally don't laugh at those things. As much as I like John Michael Higgins and I think he's hilarious, I would get rid of all of those things immediately.
At once.
You don't need those. I find Terry Bradshaw to be unwatchable at this point. I don't find his shtick, his, I'll use air quotes here, humor funny at all. His, I'm just out on the farm and we're talking about quarterback play. That is not for me. It's for somebody, I'm sure. I don't know who that somebody is, but I'm just telling you it ain't for me
at all. I wonder if we're weird. I think probably on the spectrum of sports fans, we probably are. And if you're listening to the broad to what we're talking about right now, you're probably in an elite percentage, if that makes any sense, of people that are more hardcore than your average. Hey, I'll tune in Sunday and see what's going on with the game. And if I turn the TV on at 12:40, I'll just kind of leave it on Fox until the Redskins game starts. So I wonder if it's because we're unusual. But the best football shows on television are the ESPN Daily one, whatever they, I forget what they call that, but it's just, again, smart football people discussing football topics. Then they used to have this 3 a.m. on Thursday, this matchup show, Sal Palantonio and a couple other guys.
That was the Greg Cosell show.
Yeah, where they would break down, and Ron Jaworski, this is how they get receivers open at the second level. At the snap, the quarterback looks left, and then he has an arrow of, like, left, and he draws the safety in. And the next thing you know, there's a guy running free, and you figure out how to do it. So look for them to exploit cover two by flooding the zone with receivers. And it was awesome, and it was so informative and great. And I never understood why, if they just tried, to hand people that, hey, when the Redskins play the Colts, this is how the Colts will try to exploit Greg Minuski's defense. Here is a play that they run to counteract what Minuski loves to do on third and long. This is how the Redskins will try and beat up the Colts. Watch what they do when they have a nickel linebacker in. They'll put Chris Thompson in the backfield. Give me the information. They refuse to do it, Grant.
See, here is what I'm gravitating toward now is a lot of these, and you mentioned this, fantasy pregame shows. Now, I don't necessarily love the fantasy slant because I like the sit-down interview with Larry Fitzgerald going into year 14 or whatever it is. I want to see Michael Strahan and Odell Beckham Jr. as a feature hanging out together. I think there's a lot of value in what the pregame shows provide. But like DraftKings, as an example, I've always been a FanDuel guy.
Mm-hmm.
DraftKings does this Facebook show that I know my buddy watches routinely at this point. But what they're doing is just they're going through the matchup.
Yep.
They're giving you information. You crave nuggets, you want intel, you want 411, they've got it for you. We're just getting farther and farther away from that. At the same time, the ratings on some of these shows are getting worse and worse. I don't know if there's a direct correlation, but that's why we're trying to use the platform we've got here to take calls and to get some feedback. You can also tweet us, by the way, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for me.
800-636-1067. So here, I guess, is maybe the better question than if you watch pregame shows anymore. What do you want in a pregame show? Like, my balance would be 80% football, 20% fun. If I could make a couple rules, though, if I took over as a TV executive tomorrow, I am getting rid of the quote-unquote funny guy who doesn't actually know a lot about football. I'm getting rid of that role immediately.
Right.
And I don't mean a comedian. I mean whoever's on that set as the Charles Barkley mix the pot, stir it up character.
Anybody that's out there for the chuckles,
yes.
No thank you.
Terry Bradshaw, it has been a great run. You are a football legend, and there's a show for you somewhere that I want you to be on. I want you to make a lot of money, just not this one. I need people with information that have studied throughout the week, that have analysis, that have opinions, that can back those claims up with some evidence as if they were writing an essay. That's what I'm looking for. But I think I'm probably in the minority.
We are. And that's the thing, because that's what I like. That's what I tune in for. I want all the information that you can give me in a short amount of time and as concisely presented a manner. Go through the matchups and then go through them again. I need to see a little bit less of the, like, even I'm not even into like the Tom Rinaldi type story where it's like I've got to sit down and
I'll take one of those.
A 7-minute vignette about what the charity work a guy did.
Dramatic
that,
music.
That's all awesome. I'm not anti that stuff. Go do your charity work. Information about today, who's winning and why. What matchup is important. What player is good. What player is bad.
I want a little bit more balance, it sounds like,
do. I don't care.
But I would rather watch the show you're designing than the ones that are on right now easily.
And I would also go so far as to say the days of the national pregame show, it might be an outdated model. Because think about what's successful in terms of radio. Think about what's successful in terms of coverage, right? If I want Redskins information and I'm watching the Fox pregame show for 2 hours or however long it's on, I got to wait a while. I got to wait for a long time. Maybe the better move is to have local stuff for as long as possible. Maybe the best move is to have people that are covering the team. Here is what will happen and why. Here are the players to watch for in your game, the game that you care about, the Redskins game.
Yeah.
That in 32 different markets.
The best segment done on television for years involving football was the first segment of the pregame shows, whether it was Fox or CBS, where they checked in at 10 stadiums with 10 reporters right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go around the horn. Let's go to FedEx Field, where so-and-so is standing by for the Redskins and the Lions.
The grass is wet, Jordan Reed's hurt,
absolutely.
And it doesn't look like a
and
good
I
day for the Redskins
nine
offense.
Nine reports in 14 minutes,
in
and I am up to speed on all the 1 o'clock games.
Inform me immediately.
You can't even get those segments anymore. You know, we're so busy doing wacky things in studio. The other thing I would get rid of tomorrow, immediately get rid of this. Let's walk out on the field with a football and show me what it's like to drop back and no. You're wearing a suit. Please get off of that fake field. Everyone does the fake field thing. It will drive me nuts until the end of time. You're walking. You're not running. Please stop doing a walkthrough practice like you're still playing at 67. I need no more of that ever again. Grant and Danny on the Fan Talk and NFL pregame shows. Do you guys watch? What do you want out of them? Also next, Sean McVay is an amazing specimen of a human being. He remembers everything. And we've got audio of his memory being absolutely telegraphic. Next.
I remember being fat. It's about a year ago. I was heavier than I had ever been. I saw my friend Grant Paulson have incredible success on EMP 180 weight loss, and I said, hello, I'd like to board that train. I have lost 45 pounds. I have kept it off. I am in as good a shape as I was 20 years ago. I know that because of the science, because of the accountability, because EMP 180 has been there every step of the way. We love these guys.
With EMP 180, you're going to lose weight, but more importantly, you're going to lose fat. You're going to gain muscle. Your percentage body fat's going to get better. They're going to look at things like the visceral fat. That's the fat in the base and the, I guess, the
midsection.
Yeah, the stomach area around your organs, the stuff that matters the most. The stuff that gives you type 2 diabetes and the problems as you get older. They're going to get rid of those issues for you. That's what they do at EMP 180 Weight Loss, and they're making it very easy. Just look at the locations they're choosing. Rockville, Tyson's Corner, had a demand in Woodbridge, they went there. Had a demand closer to Alexandria. They just opened a pristine new office in Alexandria. I'm down 70. Danny's down 40+. My brothers are down a combined 100. It works.
855-888-0180. As Grant mentioned, locations around the DMV. Or just Google EMP 180. Schedule your consultation today.
Talking NFL pregame shows on 106.7 The Fan. We're your pals, Grant and Danny. You can chime in at 800-636-1067 if you'd like. We can get to the calls in just a moment. One of the main coaches featured in a lot of those pregame shows this season is going to be Sean McVay. He is a garrulous personality. He is fun. He is personable. He is pleasant. Everyone likes engaging with this guy because he is so agreeable and just amiable. He knows everybody's name. He remembers you from the first time he met you. And he's just an impressive person. I always joked. I said, you could meet someone one time and you will remember their name forever. He's like, no, not really. He's like, if I know I'm going to be around you, I learn your name for sure. He's like, but I don't remember everything. I'll put that to the test after the audio that we're about to play.
I would disagree.
Sean McVay was on Bleacher Report with, among other people, former quarterback Chris Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Who's good buddies with Kyle Shanahan, who, of course, Sean McVay worked under, so they have a personal relationship. But they played this little game where they started asking Sean McVay about specific plays that have taken place over the last few years in his career, because it was claimed at one point that McVay remembers every play if you give him the down and distance and the game and the time of the game from his coaching career in the NFL. That sounds crazy until you hear this from Bleacher Report.
Week 12, Saints at Rams. 4:29 in the second quarter, 2nd and 7 on the Saints 7. What happens?
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown off schedule play versus a 3-man rush.
You're absolutely
are
right.
Are you kidding me?
You're unbelievable.
Like
now
computer.
We are going to go to This is Sean McVay's time in Washington.
Oh, no.
So we're bringing it back to 2015, week 7. Bucks at Skins.
Yep.
2nd and 7 on the Tampa Bay 24. 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
He's good. He's real good. Check out the brain on Sean.
You're amazing.
I mean, there are people who say this isn't impressive. What are they thinking?
The only thing I could have gotten out of there was that you like that. Everyone knows that, right? At least everyone here. The rest of it, are you serious? Like, are you serious?
The touchdown to Jordan Reed, because you end up coming back to win. I remembered that touchdown. I faintly remembered. I remembered a slant. I didn't know 4x1 set, but he called the play. He should know that. The Jamison Crowder wheel route on a random down and distance on that drive, absurd. The play from last year, again, similarly, ridiculous.
Josh Reynolds off schedule versus 3-man rush. Ah, oh, my God.
And this, by the way, this came about, Bleacher Report did this bit, because someone else had accidentally kind of stumbled into this with him during training camp, and he started just ripping off a bunch of plays where they went, okay, how about second play, second half, against the Chiefs last year? And he was like, oh, that was a 9-yard. And there were just random plays. He's like, yeah, we went all flat, tackle, only got one. John Sullivan missed his mark. Like, what?
Huh?
How do you remember this? And then people have the audacity to pretend like it's not impressive, which is stupid. My question is, how helpful is it? I think it's immensely helpful, because
I would say that it is.
In-game, you remember what worked, what didn't work, what you ran out of that look, you know, 3 years ago. And I think it's super helpful. But that might be up for debate. What is not in any way a conversation piece is whether or not it's incredible, because it is.
So one of my best buddies in the whole world, John, who lives in New York now, but when we were together in D.C., before D.C. changed the taxi cabs, right, now that they're all the same color, even though they're different brands, associations, or companies, whatever, we discovered at one point, just sort of randomly like this, he knew every single taxi cab company, color, design, logo, everything.
That's whack.
And it we couldn't stop quizzing him about it. So every time we'd like go out to a bar or something like that, we'd take a cab, and I'd be like, association cab. He's like, oh, red top, green trim. And he was right. And all the cab drivers, I couldn't believe it. It was a game we'd always play. Take that and multiply it times all the numbers that have ever been recorded in the history of the world, and you have this. I mean, this is absurd. There are certain people that are meant to do certain things. They're put on this earth for a purpose and a reason. Sometimes it's a noble purpose. It's to invent cures to diseases. Other times, it's to solve Rubik's Cubes on national television. He was put on this earth to do this. He was put on this earth to call plays and diagnose the best formula for attacking defenses with a play Rolodex of what has worked and what hasn't and why in the history of his life. Good heavens, is that amazing. Amazing.
It's a show. But this is a special dude, man. The Rams last year turned it around. They go 11-5. They're 1-0 with a 20-point blowout win of the Raiders over his mentor, John Gruden, who returned to the sideline. And it's the beginning of a year that a lot of people feel like could net them a Super Bowl. I've got him number one on my power rankings. But Sean McVay is just he's on another level.
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown, off-schedule play versus a 3-man rush.
He's like, oh, that old thing.
This reminds me of my boy Brandon Johnson, who I grew up with. He used to come to like every baseball game ever with me and my buddy Joey. Uh-huh. And he is the best at replicating like pitcher windups, deliveries, batting stances, all that stuff. He knows everybody. But he has memorized basically every road and every map, like in the D.C. greater area, all the way down to King George County.
He just knows it.
So we'll be randomly all turned around and spun around in like some random area in Southeast. He's like, okay, the next street is going to be called Hit. And then you get to the next street and it's like HITT, and it's just a gravel path that goes into someone's driveway. He's like, all right, Ruben's coming up on the left. Sure enough, there's Ruben. And there's grass all over this road, but there's Ruben.
That's what it's called. There's not even a street sign. It's just a kid holding the word.
That's the only time I've been this impressed by anybody.
I feel like you guys are actually underselling how impressive it is, because he doesn't just remember his play call. He remembers the defense it went up against.
That's true, too.
Which is just insane.
Yeah, and he remembers specifics of the play. Like, I don't know if in those he necessarily did it, but I've heard in the past when he's done this gimmick where basically he points out why it worked or didn't work. I mean, if you go into detail and you go, tell me about the wheel router, who was in coverage?
Because here's what we had. Here's the look we had. Now, in fairness, a lot of it, not a lot of it, but he's also watched these things on film. So it wasn't didn't just happen one time, right? So if that's the hole you're going to poke in it, I guess.
Every coach has done that.
But that's my point. This is from years ago. This is week 12. I don't remember what I had for breakfast 2 days ago.
Nate Burleson, CBS Sports and the NFL Network, going to join us next. We can bounce around the league with him. Former player who I thought had a lot of football left when he decided to hang him up. What does he think about what Adrian Peterson is doing at 33 years old? Black.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.